and welcome to the I Am Woman Project, where every week we have deep, thought-provoking and interesting conversations with thought leaders, change instigators, rule breakers and creative minds who think differently, sparking creativity and inspiration. Our special guests on our show cover a variety of topics just for you, and they share their personal stories to inspire, motivate and empower you, our listener. The I Am Woman podcast is produced for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at www.catherineplano.com. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. All links are in the show notes. Now let's get into the show. I'm curious, do you want to know how to achieve lasting positive transformation, abundance, and empower your life? If you are not happy with where you are today and the repeating patterns that represent in your life over and over again, then a radical shift is what's required to help you make changes and live your life more on purpose. All you need to do is sign up to our email list and you will receive an online module on how to create radical paradigm shifts. You can get it completely for free when you sign up to our email list at catherineplano.com. And as a valued subscriber, you are also going to get exclusive content that's only available to our email subscribers, where we will have members-only events, free access to online masterclasses, VIP and discount tickets to all events. Only available for people on our email list, we offer bonus content with more advanced tips that are exclusive just for our email subscribers. There is an amazing stuff available for you only if you sign up to the email list, and you can do that by going to catherineplano.com and sign up on the homepage. Well, this week I am super, super excited about our guest. We have Dr. Erin. Dr. Erin lives in Los Angeles and is the creator and TV host of Good Morning La La Land, America's first live streaming daily talk show focusing on good news, inspiration, and positivity. With over 42 million impressions and 800 guests featured on NBC, ABC, Fox, Amazon Prime, Netflix, and the list goes on. Dr. Erin is a Doctor of Divinity, New Thought Minister, international best-selling author, a self-made millionaire, transformational speaker, awarded as Global Peace Leader in 2016, and a mother. Forbes featured her as the 11 most inspirational female entrepreneurs to follow on Instagram. She is the author of Awakening, a 40-day guide to unleashing your spiritual powers, life's purpose, and manifesting your dreams. She is also the CEO and founder of Soul City, with the mission of being the number one spiritual leaders community in the world. Her mission is to awaken a billion people globally to their divinity while teaching them how to reprogram their subconscious, align with their personal truth and universal laws, and create a daily spiritual practice. Dr. Erin mentors soul entrepreneurs one-on-one and in group settings, transforming their personal and professional lives via subconscious processes and masterminds. She believes that when someone awakens, they naturally have a gift and message to bring to the world. After many years of working with a wide range of clients, from top celebrities, CEOs, and single mothers, her events and programs are now available to everyone. She believes the route to happiness and fulfillment is not just knowing the truth, but living the truth. It's now time to tune into this one very spiritual and soulful individual. Enjoy. Well, I'm super excited today. We have a special guest for you once again, Dr. Erin Fall Haskell. Welcome to I Am Woman Project.
I'm so excited because I am a woman in, I am definitely a project, that's for sure.
Oh, I love that. Absolutely love that. So the way we start our interview, we always love to ask our woman of inspiration her unique story. So talk us through, how did you get to where you are today? What was the inspiration?
Oh boy. Well, most people know I was 2 years old and I actually had a stillborn son. I was in nursing school. And I had read in one of those books, What to Expect When You're Expecting, that if your baby stops moving, that you should go get it checked out. So I went and got it checked out, and my baby had passed away. I was 9 months pregnant. And I, of course, was in total shock. And the doctor looked at me and he said, I'm so sorry. You can either go home and you can start labor, or you know, we can induce. And I thought, my baby has died inside of me. Now I've got to give birth to his dead body. Okay, let's do this. So I went into an intense process of delivering his body. And lo and behold, the next day I went into the mortician's house alone. Don't ask me why I was alone, but basically they had us bathe the dead baby, take pictures with the dead baby, and go home without the dead baby. And I woke up the next day and thought, I didn't get the right pictures with my baby. So I went back down to the mortician's house, and the mortician said, oh, your baby's been for formaldehyde for 24 hours, but let me get you this room already and you can, you know, say your goodbyes. And I went down into this very dark, it was literally like a scene out of the movie. And, you know, I just had a moment. I had a moment in that room alone with his body, realizing that he was gone, his body was here, and knowing that we're not these bodies. And I just committed to this path of awakening. And hence, here I am, a lot of years later.
Wow, that's amazing. I've got goosebumps, and how beautiful. I would love to maybe share with our listeners exactly what you do, because you have the most beautiful website, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I guess too, what I'd love to really unpack is your specialty, which is working with the subconscious mind. So how does one reprogram your subconscious mind? Oh, I can't talk today.
Such a great question. And I think first we have to understand that the subconscious mind, you know, I'm a New Thought minister as well, teaching universal law and really science of mind and how it's all connected. And the subconscious mind is I think one of the most fascinating things, because how we think we manifest is very different than how we actually manifest. But the subconscious mind, the greatest analogy I refer to all the time is a computer. So if you're listening to this or wherever you are, if you take a look at your phone or your computer, that's what's considered the hardware, the stuff that you can touch. That's your hardware. So the body, when you take a look at your body, this is the hardware. You can touch your body, right? So then we take a look at your computer or phone, and inside of it's what's running it. We have software that runs it. Well, this is can be upgraded. It can be, you know, have glitches in it. It can have all this stuff. And the same things with us. Our software is our belief systems, and it can get upgraded as well, you know, or downgraded. And then you have the memory, and in your computer you have mental pictures from, you know, all kinds of stuff. We call it the Akashic records spiritually, and this is basically the sum total of all the memory, generally in mental pictures, but in, you know, energetic codes, if you will. And so how do you reprogram this? So in subconscious work, just like your computer, if you're going to clean up your computer and clear it out, you got to, you know, open the files that are still running behind the scenes and causing glitches and slowing down your computer and have viruses and all kinds of stuff. You've got to pull them back up. You've got to complete them. You've got to close them down, save what you want to save, delete what you don't want to have. And you basically can reboot the whole computer, upgrade the system. And that's pretty much how we do it in subconscious work. So in subconscious work, we pull up the mental pictures from our past, from trauma, and we basically take off the charge. We take off anything that's no longer serving us, and we neutralize it, complete the cycles, and shut it down, organize it into where it belongs in the past so we can be present.
That's what that takes me back to. It's interesting. We had a conversation not that long ago that when you go back in time, for example, whatever experience that may be, that if you have an emotional charge, it means you haven't forgiven that person, for example. It's going back. You'll never forget the experience, but you can forgive the experience and therefore not have the emotional charge with it. Is that what you're mm-hmm. talking about, not having that emotional charge attached yes. to whatever situation?
Yeah, it's really simple. You know, it's really, we're literally like a computer system. So if a computer is like a binary, it's like a positive or negative. So the same thing happens, whatever happens in life or doesn't happen in life, the moment we're such powerful spiritual beings, that the moment we even place a positive or negative meaning on it, we instantaneously have a positive or negative, experience around it. So what happens with the mental pictures is there's actual like energetic codes that we, you know, we place. And anytime that we place something as more powerful than us, so say that we had, you know, our parents got divorced or we had that breakup or whatever it is, those mental pictures, is if we have the assigning of that is more powerful than ourselves, we actually place our power and our energy on that, and we have a positive or negative charge on it. So yes, same thing, just a little bit different metaphor.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Thank you so much for that. And for our listeners and for myself as well, you mentioned about limiting beliefs before. How does one know whether it's a limiting belief? And then how do we break through those limiting beliefs?
I love it. Well, let's just get it straight that if you're a human being, you have limiting beliefs because you have an identity, which is a false identity. So what is a limiting belief and what's a positive belief? You know, it's such a fascinating thing because if you get into it, if you actually even consider yourself a man or a woman, that's a limiting belief, right? Like, yep. You know, so how far down the rabbit hole do you want to go with it, right? I mean, we have so many limiting beliefs, and some of them serve in the context of our culture and what we have and whatever. So obviously, you know, anything that where we really feel stuck in life is where we want to first take a look at and really break through those limiting beliefs that are generally, you know, tacked on with some trauma and get those kind of off the consciousness first. And then we can keep going. If you want to go to enlightenment, you got to go all the way past all the veils of identity. So it's just how far do you want to go? You know, what is a limiting belief? And you're not your beliefs. You're the creator of your beliefs.
True. And then how do you actually, what would be a step approach to actually break through your limiting beliefs?
Well, in my book, there's four steps. So the first step for sure is just is waking up, really becoming conscious of what's serving you, what's not serving you, knowing that, you know, maybe some people aren't as advanced enough to realize they're really creating the entire existence, but maybe you can at least go, you know, how I'm perceiving the situation is definitely having me create my experience of it. So, you know, waking up is the first step always, just to begin to become conscious and just kind of diving through what your beliefs are. And then the second step is, of course, reprogramming. So doing your subconscious trauma work and also learning how to command in the truth, learning that we're vibration, and how we reprogram the subconscious mind is by feeling. It's by the actual feeling that backs the word. That's why they call it word. And so understanding your feelings and getting in touch with those feelings and handling anything that's a feeling and emotion needs to come out of your body. You need to express it or you need to heal it. And then being able to get into an ecstatic state. So if you're not able to have peace in your life, you're never going to be able to get into an ecstatic state. You've got to learn how to get into a neutral life so that you can begin to even have free will to begin to have high vibration times where you're either in, you know, doing affirmative prayer or you're getting to exercise and you're knowing the truth, or you're doing affirmations all day, or you turn on your favorite song and you're cranking it up and knowing the truth at that time. But that's really how we reprogram is feeling the feeling.
So what would be the third and fourth step?
The third is aligning to your own personal truth. So part of the process, one of the most fun things I do with clients is I take them through what's called the truth triangle, and we birth their true identity. We birth their unique truth because there's ultimate truths like, you know, the physics of the world and energy can't be destroyed, but everyone has a unique truth. What's true for you in finances and what works for you is going to be different for the next person. What's true for you in health, how many hours of sleep you need is going to be different for you than a different person. So we birth their truth. So we align with the truth and we align with the universal law. And then number four is to affirm every single day we have a daily spiritual practice. So the four steps again are wake up, reprogram, align, and affirm.
And the reprogram bit, it's actually really getting in touch with your feelings. It's got nothing to do with changing your ways of thinking, your thoughts or your words.
All the above. Yeah. So in a daily spiritual practice, you know, it's so funny because I was just talking to a client today about this, that I used to think that a daily spiritual practice was that 10 or 20 minutes in the morning and then I'm done with my daily spiritual practice. But, you know, as you evolve in it, you realize every breath you take is your spiritual practice. Every person you come in contact with, every word you speak is your daily spiritual practice. You know, who are you being? And that is your daily spiritual practice. So we do everything from, of course, what principles do you want to live by? What's the woman that you want to be, and who is that woman? And are you living on your own principles and your own value system? Everything from, of course, meditation, intuition, visioning, mindfulness, affirmative prayer, affirmation, you know, all the traditional daily spiritual practices. But I think the most important thing is to live your truth. Mm. Live what's true for you.
And that's not always easy, is that standing in your truth, actually. I find that sometimes, I practice that, but I even find sometimes I'm not really standing my truth at the time because I'm more concerned about, you know, other people and my environment. So sometimes standing in the truth. So what would be a piece of advice for our listeners if they, you know, to help them stand in their truth?
You know, I think a daily spiritual practice is the number one thing, because if you get clear of what really works for you, so what I have clients do is I have them go through the four areas of your life, which is career and money, relationships and love, health and wellness, and your, you know, creative expression. And when you get clear of what your must-haves, your deal breakers, and your ideal scene is in those, you can start to live on those principles for yourself. It basically is getting down to what you value and what are you committed to in your life. And when you get clear of what that is and you write out a life purpose statement, and then this becomes the North Star of your life. So every single day, you need to be looking at that, meditating on that, visioning in that, remembering it multiple times through the day. The only disease is amnesia.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So I love, one thing I'd love to really unpack as well is with the, when you're talking about what you value, what's most important to you when you're going through these four areas of your life, how does one stop that? Because I know I do it myself, that sometimes I go, oh, Catherine, you can't be thinking that way. That's a little bit negative, but that's how I'm feeling at that time. So yeah. How does one sit with that?
I love that. I love that question because it's one of my pet peeves of spirituality. And that is, the positive movement is a pet peeve of mine because it is a pitfall. And I truly believe that our emotions are here to guide us, to tell us when we're on and off track from our truth. And if it's like putting your hand in the fire, oh, are you going to put your hand in the fire and be like, oh, I need to be positive. This is going to work out. Like, no, you have your hand in the fire. So the point is that you've got to learn how to find your live on that course. So being positive, yes, we want to focus on what we want and we want to focus on the miracle that everyone is, and we want to focus on whatever. But if there's a place where it's not a healthy environment, or, you know, people need to have boundaries on them, or, you know, it's just not, you're not in alignment with that career or whatever it is, that when you're not feeling good, I'm telling you, this is so profound. Write this down if you're listening to this right now. If you're not feeling good, if you have angst, if you have any negative emotion, that is the call from the universe for you to go within, and to not only go within, but find your truth and then go to that truth. And so it's not about just getting positive and going, oh, I can make, you know, a pie out of this cow crap. You know, that's ridiculous. It is getting in alignment with what works for you. You should have an opinion. You're already almighty. You're already ethereal. We're here to have a human experience and have opinions. We're not here to get zenned out and detached. It's called spiritual detachment. I see it all the time. And I'm like, well, that's cool. But to not have emotions, that's why we've come to have a human experience. Mm-hmm. Is to have emotions, to have this experience, to have a choice, to say, this works for me and I get to have free will and go over here, to be zenned out. That's great. But most of the time, people are just getting to where they just have gone into apathy.
Mm. And as you're saying this, I know that sometimes for myself, and, you know, I know it's a spiritual bypass where I go, oh, you know, Catherine, you're just being silly. And then you're always making excuses for other individuals or the environment because you are trying to stay positive. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those things that I think I actually catch myself doing all the time. Is this real or is this a spiritual bypass I'm currently going
through?
Such
a great, yeah, spiritual bypass, spiritual detachment. Yes, absolutely. Love those distinctions. They're so great.
Mm. So, Dr. Erin, for our listeners, if there was that one piece of advice that you would like to recommend someone that's embarking on a new life or a new career, what would be that one thing that they could start doing?
I mean, I feel like this. I feel like subconscious work is the most important thing. I think meditation is the foundation to everything, but I think meditation can take a very long time. I feel like if you did subconscious work, you can break through a lot of walls 10 times as fast, if not 100 times as fast. Just getting in there, spotting stuff, it really has people realize how much they decided and how they, the same power that creates suffering, the same power that creates limitations, the same power that creates chains in our life is the power that frees us. And the only person that could ever put us in shackles is ourselves.
So true. So how do you actually do the subconscious work? Is it through a series of like visualization, hypnotherapy? What exactly do you do to break through and get to that subconscious level?
So there's processes. So we either do it one-on-one or we do it in group sessions. And there's processes like for trauma, we do spiritual reverie. So we go back in and pull up the mental picture. And it's exactly identical to a cognitive therapy called a cognitive process called prolonged therapy. It's very similar, other than we go into past lives as well. And then we go into things like upsets, anything going on, and we run down the upsets and we get the communication out and we see where the failed expectations are and we see where, you know, that basically the gap in suffering is wanting life, people, and places to be different than they are. So closing that gap to acceptance and then having choice to either have boundaries or whatever works for people. It's all processes. And we just we break down the four areas, which are basically trauma, upsets, quandaries, and self-judgment. And so we just go through a series of different things around that and take a look at people's lives. Are there suppressive people in your life? Are you in a dysfunctional relationship? Da 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 da. And just breaking it down. It's really, yeah. It's actually very simple. You know, It really is. It's just people overcomplicate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And self-judgment is a really interesting topic in itself. I think we talk about how judgment stops us doing the very thing that we need to do. But how does one stop judging?
If I can just tell somebody how to do that, that would be, then I might be, you know, the next multi-billionaire, right?
Right.
I mean, it's a practice. It's self-love, you know, how do you explain what love is? Love is an ethereal thing. How do you measure it? You know, so it's like Bob Newhart said, you just stop it.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. So, I mean, it's like peeling away the layers of the onion, as many people refer to. And subconscious work is more and more, you know, as you get to those things, you're either going to choose to do it or the universe is going to slam you down and have you surrender to that breakdown and breakthrough. So regardless, somehow we get there.
Yeah.
If not in this lifetime, at some point in time.
Yeah, I know. I find, okay, I'm just saying, I'm asking that question also for myself because I find myself judging myself all the time, unconsciously, without even thinking about it.
Yeah?
It just happens.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we all do at some level, whether it's our hair our whatever that may be. You know, we're constantly going, oh, we need to be a little bit tighter here, firmer here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the greatest processes for that is taking people into their younger self and their older, wiser self, like in a visualization process, and really beginning to bring that child within and just beginning to love ourselves like if we were taking care of our own child, because most people wouldn't want to hurt their own child. So I think that that's a breakthrough process that people can actually take into their daily spiritual practice and doing different meditations around that, and remembering that there's that innocent part of us that we need to really learn how to be our own best friends. We need to mother ourselves. We need to love ourselves, knowing that the ultimate relationship is always with, you know, within to the higher self, and all other relationships are the projection and reflection of our ability or inability to love. So if we can't love ourselves, how in the world are we going to accept and love other people? So, you know, I mean, I think we're so caught up in this rat race out there. Like, are you the 6 and 7 figure coach and da da da? And, you know, it's like that great viral video that went around about that soul, the lieutenant or whatever, that talks about, you know, making your bed. Like, if you want these huge goals, but if you can't even make your bed, like, you're kidding yourself, right? So, like, to think that you're going to be fulfilled and da 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 da, and all this stuff, being a 6 or 7 figure coach, and you haven't figured out how to love yourself, like, you might want to rearrange your goals this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So true. And I'm, as you were saying that, I'm actually looking, I've got a photo of myself when I was about 2. And what I do is when I actually catch myself, well, when the inner critic comes up, I always look at that and think, you know what? Would you speak like that to that little Catherine at the age of 2? And the answer is always no.
Aww. I know. We all want to just love ourselves. And I do it too. We all do it. But that's why I say the only dis-ease is amnesia. Mm. Because if we placed a picture of the little girl of ourselves on our desk, you know, and remembered all the time, she's right here. She needs love too, yeah. You know.
So true. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Erin, you've had an amazing, wonderful life. What has been one of your greatest lessons that you have learned along your way?
Well, it's been a tough life and a lot of it, you know. For me, I mean, of course, I have a son now that's 23 and he's just a good freaking human being, you know. And so that brings me more joy than ever. Of course, being in service and having, you know, women around the world reach out and talk about their, you know, epiphanies and things that have happened with their awakenings. That's for sure. I mean, it goes beyond anything. Mm-hmm. That goes beyond everything. Yeah. That's why we do this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I also have a son who's 24, and wow, have I learned so much through him. Mm-hmm. He's so chilled out. It's amazing. And the other thing that we love to ask our woman of inspiration is about pain points. We believe that we all have some pain points. What would be one of your pain points, and how do you work through? What's your best way of finding a solution? Because we do have a lot of women that listen to this show that are in business, entrepreneurs and so forth. And, you know, we all have pain points. What's yours? Yeah.
Loneliness. For sure. Absolutely. It's an ongoing thing that's actually has been the biggest driving point for me to launch Soulcity because, you know, look, I'm around. I mean, I had 800 people on my show this last year. You know, I'm around. I'm on red carpets. I'm da-da-da. I'm here. I'm there. I'm with clients. And I still need and desire, because I think it's a natural thing. I don't think we're supposed to do this alone. Mm. And I think that spirit truly desires for us to be highly, you know, connected. And hence it's wonderful that we've connected on the web, but we need to really connect physically. And that's why Soulcity, for me, my mission is to have it be the number one spiritual community of leaders, spiritual leaders in the world, but also to really have an online community and an offline community doing events and having, you know, soul circles where we come together and have beautiful evenings instead of just going and doing yoga and things that we do anyway. But I want to have people have a voice. When they come, they'll have a voice. They can talk about what's going on for them and have a community where they can leave at the end of the night and feel like their soul has been fed. That's what's so important. Because you can be in the middle of hundreds of thousands of people and still feel lonely. You know, it's having that connection. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And I think face-to-face connection is so important. And we've lost so much of that physical face-to-face connection. It's everything is online these days. So it makes it really hard to connect. So the other thing that we love to ask is, what do you think is a reason? Because we were talking about, you know, prior to coming on the show, we do have a lot of women in business, entrepreneurs and so forth. What do you think is one of the reasons that business failed to succeed?
That's a profound question. I really appreciate you asking that. So what is it? Eight out of nine businesses, I think, fail over 5 years or something like that. I don't know what the stat is for sure. And I don't quote me on that, but I think it's about that. I mean, the same reason why anything fails, is because we don't have the correct mindset and we don't have the correct skill set. So, you know, it's giving up. You know, I think a lot of the entrepreneurs are solo entrepreneurs, and it's pretty impossible to do it alone. We're not designed to do it alone. Again, spirit, we are, you know, here. We need to have collaboration, and hence why we do a lot of masterminds. People need to learn how to build teams, and there's ways of doing that. You need to figure out. I had a client who had 400 employees, and he went down to 200 employees because he did personality tests. He found out what people's strengths and weaknesses were, and he teamed them up. So there's always a perfect, you know, a partner for everybody, and there's the perfect team for everybody. So you need to really get clear of what your genius is and what your kind of limitations are, and be okay with that. There's nothing wrong with limitations. It's actually the biggest blessing, because then you're going to have to call in the team that's going to be that. And so I think the number one reason is because we don't have teams.
I love that. So when you talk about genius, is that finding our purpose in life?
No, your genius is your personality test. You can, I use Colby There's many different personality tests, but you need to figure out, are you a detail person? Are you an innovator? Are, you know, like there's people who are more the visionary type of founder people. There's detail people that are kind of the follow through people. There's implementers, they're managers, and there's fact finders, researchers. I'm sure there's many other types, but in the one that I use, there are four types. And so when you figure out those types, then you can hire accordingly of what you really out those teams. And then it's amazing because the synergy and what Spirit is able to do, it's like the show, you know, there's three hosts and we're able to, you know, do 10 times what we could if it was just, you know, individually, because there's a synergy that happens with that.
Mm. So, sorry, what did you call it? Cody?
Colby, K-O-L-B-E. I think it's like $50 if I don't make any money off that. There's other sites I'm sure that could be free. There's some that are probably more expensive. I help people create masterminds because masterminds for me is the greatest way. Say people can't go, I can't afford employees right now. Fine, you don't need an employee. You can get a partner and have a mastermind and still do the same thing. You can find what your strengths and weaknesses are. You can designate who does what. You need to start understanding these things so that you can, you know, when times get hard, because business is hard, there's ups and downs, our economy changes, all kinds of things. You've got to have, and we tap into the mastermind. We go into session once a week with our teams or tribe or mastermind, and we work through whatever needs to be worked through. And there's rules, and the rules are everyone's got to be fully committed. Everyone's got to see through. And the thing is that, as we know, in a ship, it's not considered a crew until it's gone through a storm. So you need to pick people that are positive. You need to pick people who persevere, that have a history. You know, so you got to pick your people. And that's probably one of the most important things, is picking people that have abundant mindset, to have a great attitude, and that will persevere through anything. Mm. So picking those people, yeah.
I love that, having a mastermind group. There's one thing I do want to go back to, because when we're talking about reason why people fail to succeed in business, you have this thing where on your website, what is the key to success? What is the key to success?
There's only one in my, it depends on how you define success, right? So, I mean, that success is defined differently. And I think my son summed it up best, doing what you love with people that you love when you want to do it, right? So it's free choice. I mean, let's face the fact, that's real success. For one person, that's going to be a billionaire. For another person, it's, you know, to have $30,000 and living in Bali. So what, it doesn't matter what success is, but the number one key to success, of course, is knowing who you are. I mean, there's just absolutely no question about it, that going into the truth, because you may just be, you know, doing what your parents told you to do or what the culture told you to do. And then you get to that success, then all of a sudden you realize that that's not even making you happy either. And guess what? Nothing in the out world will ever make you happy. So finding true success is always, always finding happiness and fulfillment within, and then transcending that into this world.
Mm, so true. So, so true. I agree. The other thing where you mentioned about really understanding who you are, how does one discover their soul's calling?
Cool. We take them through a process, and there's an actual formula that I've come up with, which you can write this down. It's three things. Your triumphs plus your passion plus your skill set equals your purpose and calling. And it doesn't work for everybody. It's never not worked for anybody I've worked with. So basically what we do is we go into the suffering of this lifetime and all lifetimes, and it's profound. Let me tell you that, Calvin, this is probably the most profound thing. When people start looking at their suffering through all lifetimes and they see what they, like, there's a reason why certain people with a child, because they've dealt with being a child or having, you know, a child killed in front of them over years or different lifetimes. Or people that are, you know, need to have a voice because they weren't able to, you know, have a voice. They live in a very suppressive culture in many lifetimes, you know, so on and so forth. So they're trying, what do they have to overcome? It's like, we don't want to work with somebody that helps us, say, lose weight, that never dealt with, excuse me, let me take a sip of water real quick. We don't want to work with somebody who didn't have to overcome something, right? Mm-hmm. So for example, we don't want to learn about how to become a millionaire from somebody that was born with a silver spoon in their mouth. We want somebody who was, you know, broke and living in their car, and then they overcame it, right? Mm-hmm. So this is the same thing with your purpose and calling. You needed to have gone through all that suffering to have that relative experience to come in and be that time. You needed to go through that to understand, to have the tools to go from A to Z. Those trials, those triumphs that you had to overcome to come to those triumphs is one of the best gifts you can ever have coming into this lifetime. So we take your triumphs plus your passion. So what are you really passionate about? And your skill set, because sometimes you've got to develop skill set, right? You can be, know the truth of the universe, but not have the skill set to be able to get it out to people through the technology, through writing, through whatever. You've got to build your skill set. So that's the formula. Three things.
I love the triumph bits because it's so true that it is through our pain that we learn and grow.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So another question. What advice would you give your younger self looking back in time?
Well, I wrote a book for her because I think it's very important to do our own karma and really complete what we need to complete in this lifetime. And that is, for me, it was a book about awakening because I really feel like that's what we're here to do. We're here to remember who we are and then basically transcend the truth into what we're here to be, the greatest form of our individual self. And how do we do that? We're here to do that. You have a gift, Catherine, that no one else has. There's not one other person on this entire planet or universe that's you, right? So the greatest gift you can give this entire planet is you, the highest, most expressed version of you, the most loving, the most, radiant you. And so, of course, we want that for everybody, but how do you get there? How do you find that woman? How do you birth that woman? And there's only one way of doing that. And it's really dying as the divided self that, what's it called? The bird, help me out.
So what's the bird?
Yeah, looking for rising phoenix. The rising phoenix. Right. Yeah. So how do you do that? Through awakening. You got to rebirth yourself. It's birthing your truth.
It takes me back to another interview. Rebecca Campbell was saying that there's we have two mothers. We have the mother of our birth mother, and then we have the spiritual mother. It's like, how do you, so then there has to be a death of the physical self in some way for you to be reborn in that, what you're talking about, in that other form. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that. One of my favorite things ever is doing death meditation. And it sounds so dark, but it's the most liberating thing, when you go in there and you can actually go and just pretend like you're laying, in wherever it may be, in your bed at your home or in the hospital, whatever, and just really like visioning the people that you love around you and just really giving them love and saying goodbye. And like, there's something so profound. You know exactly what still needs to be healed. You know exactly what needs to be said, and you get complete on everything. And then you can come back, and then you can just really enjoy people exactly as they are. It's like a big bonus.
I love that, and I have done that. I don't think it's dark at all. I think it really helps you understand what is your legacy, what do you want to be known for, what is it that you haven't done before you leave this kind of, this world. So I think it's a great way to reflect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how about you? I don't know that much about you, and I'm sure your listeners come because they want to hear you. They want to hear more about you. So what do you think about all this? So what do you think is the key to reprogram this? You've interviewed so many people. What do you think the key to reprogram your subconscious is?
Oh, this, it's interesting. I'm actually currently doing a little bit of research around that, which is the around Carl Jung. So it's interesting because the more information you have, the information is drawn from the same pool, but there's this, once again, you could do the self work, but then there's that collective unconscious. And this is probably very similar to what you were talking about, going through past lives, or, some people call it, genetic, transformation, when you bring, parts of the DNA that's been passed down your family. So I think there's so many parts, moving parts. Mm-hmm. And I think the one thing that we can do is that deep work that you talk about, absolutely get into that unconscious or subconscious. I mean, some people believe that unconscious is that the deeper part of our brain, the subconscious is that more the emotional part of our brain, and then we've got the conscious. So it depends on where you look, but absolutely that unconscious or subconscious work is a must, because this is where we actually find where our fears, what are our fears? I mean, I know for me was I had a fear of success, and I didn't realize that every time I was getting close to that brink of something, I would sabotage it. And so then right. I did, and when I actually did that work, I could actually see that, because I'm French. So when I came to Australia, I was only seven, but it's that time, that prime time of the brain where you're still learning from everything around you and downloading that information, that software, as if it's your reality. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think that every time I stood up and I spoke, people would make fun of me because I had this accent. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I can see that when I go back in time to that little girl, that the fear of success is I have to stand in my own light.
Mm-hmm.
And so true. The deep work is a must, you know, and there's so many layers of it. You don't just do it once. It's constantly. I've been doing this for 4 or 5 years and I'm still learning so much about myself. I'll never stop learning. And always, I always call, I get so many etheric slaps.
I love that. I love it. And I think I totally agree with everything you said. And I think there's a lot of different, you know, there's just different, people have different language around all of it, but I do think that it's important for people to understand that your consciousness, the individual consciousness, is connected with the collective and cosmic. So there's no individual consciousness. Like, let's just get that straight. There's probably really not even anything, like, no such thing.
Which I actually always say, you know, I remember one of my teachers saying, we are one. And this goes back to the whole judgment piece. If you're judging somebody, that's, hold a mirror up. What is it within you that you are not happy about or happy with? So it's constantly talking to us if we're awake to it.
Isn't that amazing? I love that. I love the serendipity of all of it. And then there's also Zenblanity, which is it's a coined term that's the opposite of serendipity, which is basically all the negative things that are serendipitous. And that's the point. Like, life is this complete, profound mirror. And it's like, if you want to know what your beliefs are, if you want to know what anyone believes or what they're committed to, just look at their life. Mm. Period. That's it.
Yeah. Yep. And I think even just to tune into what you're saying as well, like, you know, I think that if I hear myself say something like, I would never do that, that would be, once again, I would need to investigate, why would I make a comment like that? You know, right. And that could be my shadow playing out right now. It's like, for me, there's always a learning in everything that we say, do, and feel and act.
100%. And that's the profound thing, is that it's just like one big mirror, and then you go through this life and you're kind of like dancing through it and you're like, wow, this is so profound. It's so profound. I mean, it's so advanced. It's a miracle every second of every day.
Absolutely. So, Dr. Erin, as we start wrapping up the show, we always love to ask our woman of inspiration to pick one word that best describes her personal brand. What would be that one word for you?
Partnership.
Oh, I like that.
I mean, yeah, one of the main things I'm focusing on is, of course, it's community, but it's more than community, it's partnership. So I'm doing actually affiliate 50-50 with people because I am kind of dumbfounded of why all these separate platforms. It doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm like, how can I have people, you know, feel like they're true partners? And that's, I was like, well, it's really easy. Give them 50% of everything, right? Mm,
I love that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and that's a great way for exposing the work that you do and help raise the consciousness of this planet.
Yeah, and I think we need, you know, I've been in spiritual centers and some are amazing, but they're very limited and they're limited to a demographic and a geographic, sorry. And I just feel like it's time for a world community. It's time for us to come together and somehow have an umbrella for different events going around the world and different things, and yet come together online and stuff. So super excited. Yeah. Really great things coming online. Yeah.
Love it.
Check it out. Soulciety, which is SOULCIETE.com. Just launched. So it's super exciting.
Mm-hmm. I highly recommend for our listeners, check it out. We'll have it all in the show notes, but absolutely beautiful. So Dr. Erin, as we wrap up, we always love to ask our woman of inspiration to leave 3 shiny golden nuggets for our listeners. So what would be those 3 shiny golden nuggets that you would like to leave for our listeners today?
3 shiny golden nuggets. I would say number one is prosperity. It is your birthright to have prosperity. Money is a symbol of, it's just energy. It's an exchange of energy. And anywhere you're stuck in money, wealth, or abundance, give it. Give service. Give, call people up. If you're a coach or you're new and you can't figure out how to get clients, give your services. Get a testimonial in exchange. Give, 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 give. Serve, serve, serve. And it will come back, the prosperity. Number two, I would say health. And I would say the number one thing is just find peace. You got to find peace. No matter what you do, you have to be your number one priority. And that's not comfort. That's peace. Third, I would just say it's, of course, love. Love is the most profound thing. And if you can't love yourself, there's no way in hell you can love somebody else.
So true. I love that. The one, mm-hmm. one thing that resonates with me is the prosperity piece. When you're saying give, 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 and I also believe that, like I believe it's in the giving that we receive. But then mm-hmm. there's also, we had another, Anita Morjani, actually,
amazing.
Yes. Having a conversation with her was another etheric slap. She said, are your receiving channels open? In other words, that we can get so into that giving space, which is me, I give, 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 that then we don't know how to receive. What are your thoughts mm-hmm. around that?
It's very profound. You know, it's so funny because I work with a lot of women entrepreneurs and they start out just, they want to give everything. And I'm like, they're afraid to charge. Then you find there's men that have half, you know, and they're just charging left and right. And I'm like, what is going on with this? Right. Mm. So I just want to slap the girls out there and go, it's time to claim your birthright of prosperity. I get it. I think that there's a time and a place to give and serve. And there's a time and a place to say, I'm worth it. And it's time for money exchange. And I would say this is the number one thing. And this changed my life when I heard this years ago. And it was a story of a gentleman who, and I'll try and make it fast because we're running out of time, but he asked all of these women what their goals were, what their money goals were. And one said, oh, you know, it's $5,000 a month if I can make that. Oh, one's like $20,000 a month. Da, da, da. He goes, that's great. Those are all desires. They're not must-haves. Until you get like you have to make it, it's not going to necessarily happen because you're in your comfort zone. So this is why as coaches we charge. This is, yes, we are claiming our birthright, but you're doing somebody a service when you charge them because it makes them committed. It makes them have to rise. There's a law of demand in the universe. It's that life force. When the runner, you know, runs out of energy, there's something that happens and they break through that wall, that runner's wall, and they break through and all of a sudden they have more energy, right? It's that muscle. Your muscle can't build unless you put force on it to have weight on it. The people need to commit, and how we commit a lot because we value this thing called money. It's just another symbol, but that's how. So you have to know that if you want to break through, claiming your birthright of money, you have to understand this is a gift. It's a gift for them to charge them money. And that for me changed my entire perspective of now I have no problem ever charging people for doing coaching, for doing spiritual work, for doing subconscious work, any of it.
I know. And I think that also ties in with self-worth a lot of the times for women, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Self-worth and skill set. I mean, if you're having a hard time doing sales, it's usually either self-worth or you really do need to develop your skill set. You feel like you're not confident because you really aren't there yet. You're not ready. You don't believe in yourself because the skill set's not there.
So true. So Dr. Erin, where would be the best place for our listeners to find you? Because you do have quite a few and we'll have them all in the show notes.
Dr. Erin goes to it. So DREREIN.TV.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been an absolute honor to have you on the show. I'd like to also thank you for sharing your wisdom with us. It's been amazing. I've written down heaps of notes. Thank you so, so very much.
Thank you. I just want to honor you for, you know, raising consciousness, bringing people together. I think it's one of the greatest gifts you can give the world. And I know shows are a lot of work. So I just want to say thank you so, so much. And everyone can find me at Instagram at DrErin.TV as well. So I'd love to connect with everybody, get involved. I'm super excited to come down for your event if it all happens and just want to say thank you.
Thank you so, so very much. That brings us to the end of another episode. I hope you enjoyed the show, as it is my mission to reach out and inspire as many individuals like you. And one of the best ways to help us achieve this goal is by giving us a good review on iTunes. It's easy and it only takes about 10 seconds. And when you do, please be sure to let us know by sending us an email to collect your special gift, where you have a choice from 6 guided meditations or an ebook to soothe your soul. Now, if you have any questions or special guests that you would like to hear from, please send us an email to support@katherineplano.com.au and we will get right back to you. You can also find us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook at Katherine Plano. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Until next week, please take care of yourself.